Hello, my name is Sarah, and I am your chakra coach. On this podcast, we'll be exploring how the chakra system can help guide you to grow your emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual wellness, leading you closer to your highest self. Hello, and welcome once again to the podcast. Thank you for listening and for just being all around great people. I appreciate you. I really do. But whether you've been listening forever or this is your first episode, you are so, so very welcome here. In a lot of ways, this podcast has helped me do the very thing that I talked with today's guest about: finding and connecting with your soul essence, something that you might have heard me call your authentic self. My guest is Nicole Lee, and the more I get to know her, the more I realize that she is living the very thing that I talk about on this show all the time. How do we uncover all the stories and narratives that have been put on us by our society, our culture, our family, ourselves, for that matter, and discover who we actually are? And does that person change? Or is there a part of you that is unchanging? The part of you that is you no matter what? It's a fascinating conversation, and she really gets deep into how she found herself on this journey and the steps she took to find herself after a tragedy. Nicole Lee is a trauma-informed healer, intuitive guide, and transformational life coach. She specializes in guiding individuals who are experiencing significant life transitions, feeling stuck, unfulfilled, or feeling overwhelmed, into rediscovering who they are, helping them heal from past pain, and learning how to chart a fulfilling new path for their life. Before dedicating her life to healing and personal transformation, Nicole spent 2 decades as a business management consulting leader and executive coach, driving large-scale change initiatives for Fortune 500 companies. But now she is certified in multiple disciplines, including life coaching, health coaching, spiritual coaching, energy healing, including Reiki, emotion code, body code, meditation, and trauma-sensitive heart math practices. Here's Nicole.
Hey, Nicole. Thanks for being on the show. How are you?
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me. I am wonderful.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that. I am also wonderful.
Yay. How are you? Yeah, you're great.
I'm awesome. Good. Yeah. Wonderful. I'm really, really excited to have this conversation today because I feel like it's going to cover so many things, but you know, just about healing and different ways that we can all sort of heal ourselves and really reconnect to our true soul essence. And so I'm so excited about just exploring this topic with you today. But before we do, would you mind telling us a little bit about you? Just kind of who you are, where you come from, where you came from, and then like, what brought you to this moment?
Yes.
I know, just a little simple question.
And I love that you said, who are you? Because it's my favorite thing to navigate in the world, and where I help individuals. And who am I? I am love. I am light. I am a consciousness shifter. I am a healer. I'm a giver. I am joy. There's so many things from that space. And as someone of what I do with those things that I am, of some of the things I shared, is I am a healer, an intuitive guide, and a transformational coach. And I leverage my gifts and talents to help individuals with discovering who they are and their identity. And much of that is tied to going through major life transitions. Yeah. So whether that's a relationship transition, a career transition, losing a loved one, which is what brought me into the space that I'm in, a move. When you think about, children leaving or having a child or getting married, those are all major life transitions that sometimes when we're not sitting in them, we're not realizing that they are shifting us in ways that we are looking at and wanting to rediscover who we are and how mm-hmm. we show up in the world. So that's who I am. And that's a bit of what I do. I'm originally from Michigan. I now live in Atlanta, but I've also lived in Florida and California. So okay. Yeah, been a
sounds
few places.
A little
places.
Bit like my journey.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that it was a loss that mm-hmm. sort of brought you to this, because we've talked before, you have not yeah. always sort of tapped into these gifts that you have. Right. So this is, I don't want to say it's a new space for you, but you're definitely, you were brought here by something specific. If you're okay with it, would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. And I love that you say that, where what I find is it was reconnecting to mm-hmm. that who I am, right? That essence. And we briefly, when we were talking about the soul essence, I reconnected to the core of who I was. And that came from my mother transitioning from this earth. My mother died in 2018. And many people talk about when they lose a loved one, something changes. It's not the same.
That's right.
What I will say also, not being the same, whether mentally, emotionally, was not the same for me spiritually. So something did activate in me in a way that I had never experienced before. My deep obsession with alternative health and wellness, my deep obsession with spirituality, metaphysics, all of those things started to rise in me as a result of my mother passing. Some of it happened before she passed, as me supporting her as a caretaker. But really, at the point in which she passed, it was just all these things started, I love that word, activating in me a greater sense of curiosity. And I do use the word obsession because it wasn't always conscious. It mm-hmm. was just this, I have to have more information. I have to understand. I need to gain clarity and insights in different ways that didn't lead me to understanding that some of the things that I have innately in me were gifts. They were divine gifts. And that goes into things around having, not realizing what an empath was, for example.
Sure.
We hear empathetic, right? And people who are, even from an emotional intelligence perspective, understanding people's emotions and being more an active listener, some of those types of skills and traits. However, I started to realize that I actually have the gift of an empath. I naturally sense and feel people's emotions and energies at a deeper level. I started to realize that I have what's called claircognizance or knowing, just a natural knowing of things, as well as some clairvoyance, not realizing that the way I saw the world and was able to envision things and articulate them were actual gifts, not just talents. So it really did start helping me start to discover these things that I think I just wasn't paying attention to. I mean, part of it is the presence, right? Like having a sense of presence and awareness with self mm-hmm. is something that we don't always give ourselves the opportunity to have.
Yeah, totally. Look, I want to ask you a question. So these things, these gifts were mm-hmm. always part of you. They were yes. actually your soul essence.
Yes.
But do you feel like, I mean, you had a pretty significant career in corporate America. Mm-hmm. So things kind of cover up world expectations. Your expectations of yourself can cover up sort of your true essence. And yes. you talked about transitions like a baby or children leaving the house or a new job or, I mean, like all of those big mm-hmm. life changes. Do you think that the essence of who we are doesn't change? It just gets covered up? Or do you think that our essence changes as we transition through time? Or that, I would love to know a little bit more yeah. about what you consider to be the soul, the essence of our soul.
Yeah. So my belief and my understanding is that we have a soul imprint in a sense, right? And that is coded, I guess, just for the easiest sake, coded with these things that our soul is to express while we're here on earth in this human body. One thing that I love, but Gary Zukav from The Seat of the Soul says, when the personality comes fully to serve the energy of its soul, that is its authentic empowerment.
Will you say that again? Wait, say that again.
When the personality comes fully to serve the energy of its soul, that is authentic empowerment.
So when we talk about being our authentic self, mm-hmm. it is when our personality, our presence in the world,
yes.
is a reflection of our true essence,
soul.
True
yes. soul imprint. It's
I so love that definition of authenticity, actually, because it's such a difficult thing to define. And that's just a nice way of looking at it. Very understandable. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. So I brought that because I was thinking about, you know, when I was looking at this connection between my soul, my personality, like you say, this, the world that we live in, I do think that is the piece that becomes disconnected because of societal norms, traditions, belief systems, us living in the world and being influenced, right, by our surroundings, our environment, those types of things. And so I do sense and believe that we have this imprint that can evolve, though. So I think the beauty of reconnecting to at least the essence, the feeling of our soul, the things that feel right to us, allows us to then expand and evolve into seeing what other elements do feel right and aligned to that. So what I found was there was a disconnect from me really sensing and feeling who I was. That to me is from societal norms and conditioning and, you know, whether it's even traditional past things that have passed on to us, that we don't really sit with that deeper sense of feeling. Does this feel good to me? Does something feel off to me? When we think about intuition, many times people are in conflict between these intuitive, or whether we call them gut instincts, something, just an inner knowing versus our intelligence, the mm-hmm. logic, the right, the checkpoints, the steps, those types of things. And so I almost use that in comparison of what we're talking about. My body is operating, my personality is operating, and that kind of is like the intellect part of me. My soul is this essence that is an inner knowing that just moves based on the innate wisdom that's in me. And when those are in conflict, I think we're fighting between what our soul is trying to tell us versus what the external world is trying to tell us.
Okay, that actually takes me right to my next question. It almost answers it, was that basically we all have sort of an internal GPS, like a compass,
yes,
that lets
exactly.
us know when things aren't quite right, when we're not living authentically, when we're not connected to the soul essence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we just have to be quiet and listen for it. I would, first
yes.
of all, tell us how you mm-hmm. got there. I mean, I understand that you had like a personal tragedy mm-hmm. that forced you to kind of sit with yourself.
Yeah.
But if, you know, can we do it without a tragedy?
Yes. And I love that you brought that up because, yeah. So just like you were mentioning, like, and you also get back to what you were talking about too, of like, kind of, I guess, like stuffing it, right? Like you get all these things piled on top of you. I think of, you know, if you have a room with a lot of stuff and you just keep putting boxes in there, you start to lose sight of what is really in there, how it interconnects. And I think, and I say that because I went through basically an unpacking, right? Mm. I had all these life events. I had all these things that had been happening, and I had not really given myself permission to sit and unpack it all. So to your point, I don't think you have to go through a tragedy. I think what happens though with a tragedy, it actually forces you into a space that you start unpacking. either people unpack and start to want to understand and uncover and heal and perhaps have a different experience or life, or it's so overwhelming that they don't. And there's deep depression, there's coping mechanisms around whether there's alcohol or, you know, other things that are trying to help regulate or stabilize in some way to fill that void. But that's what I really think it is. Our society, at least where I grew up, and I know everyone comes from different spaces, reflection was more like in the moment, right? Like reflect on this for 5 minutes, not take a significant amount of time to sit with yourself, take inventory, ask questions out of discovery and exploration. Allow yourself to go through ebbs and flows of your energy, your relationships, your emotions. And so that's basically how I got to where I was, because even though my mother's passing was so deep and painful, with my shift out of corporate, I also decided to give myself the time and space to heal. So unlike many people that I know that quote unquote take the leap, they leave, you know, whatever world they're from, corporate or whatever, and then they go into their own business. Many times they're trying to create the same experience. So I'm going to make sure I have all the things ticked and tied. I'm going to take the leap and I'm now going to be a successful coach, for example.
Yeah. I hear that a lot.
Yes. So it's literally like I'm just going from one environment to the other. In my case, because of how it was activated in me, even on a spiritual level, that I had to leave, I literally took a leap of faith without a full plan. And as a result of that, I actually allowed myself a lot of space to heal. I reached out to different therapists. I worked with a shaman. I had spiritual teachers. I even started studying even more in, you know, energy healing. So that's where I became certified in other energy modalities, hypnotherapy, understanding the mind. So I went on this educational exploration with also giving myself time and rest and building a business, but that the business was not the priority.
I think that's a really important thing to sort of take a moment with and sit with, because so many people are like, well, I'm going to discover the essence of who I truly am. I'm going to do this 5-minute meditation.
Yes.
And I absolutely understand that impulse. This is a quick culture. We want things to be done fast. We're like, oh, that ought to be no problem. But I feel like what you're saying is that even without a tragedy that forces you into that situation, there's so much a lifetime of things shoved into your soul closet.
Yes, exactly.
Which is what I'm going to think of it as from now
yes,
on.
Yes, I love that. Like, yes, in your soul closet. Yes.
I've got my soul junk drawer.
Yes. Right?
And for some reason, as well as my soul, there's also 18,000 rubber bands. Like what
yes,
am I doing?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, and I love that. And that, you know, we think about whether even it's a trip or something, you know, soul closet, soul luggage. I mean, there you know,
because oh, it's also like when you don't unpack for like a week after a vacation, you're just like, oh, it's fine. I'll get to it eventually. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. And your poor soul is sitting in the suitcase. Like I'm still in here.
And so what's interesting too about that unpacking, when you think about if we shift into like what you were talking about, you know, whether it's a tragedy or not a tragedy, and if we've been on earth for a certain amount of time, we actually have been carrying things that we have not unpacked. So when you think about even the heaviness sometimes in life, I've come to, in my own exploration, I have an assumption that the reason why people feel a greater sense of heaviness as they age is not really the aging process. It's that on the journey of life, you have not taken a moment to unpack. So you start to literally carry things subconsciously, energetically, that begin to weigh you down. It's why even since it's sometimes with a midlife crisis, is it really a midlife crisis, or is it because you've been carrying things so long, not taking the opportunity to sit and reflect and discover and explore what serves you and not serve you? And then you hit that tipping point that you start to recognize that nothing's serving you, but you don't have any clarity on what to do to get out of that place. Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Makes so much sense to me. Is like, if you don't unpack as you go, you'll just end up with more than you could possibly carry. Like your soul, your body, your mind just simply can't hold any more weight. You have to let things go. And that does feel like the crisis, right? Mm-hmm. It isn't because you hit 45 and all of a sudden everything falls apart. It's become too much, and it's time to go back to who you actually are.
Yes. And that's overwhelm. Yeah. Overwhelm is having too much that I can't handle. And so that's what I found with working with my clients. And that's why I say, whether it's a relationship or whatever, I lost myself. You hear that a lot. I lost myself in my children. I lost myself in my marriage. I lost myself in the work that I've been doing for 20 years. There's been benefit and reward and reinforcement, all these beautiful things, but you get to a point, whether it's taken from you or you shift, and you are sitting with, well, what part of this really is me? And how much of it did I really want versus I was doing for others or for attention or accolades? Like, it gets really deep. And that's why I say too, shifting to exploration and discovery, because we're on a life journey, allows you also to detach from the judgment of it. So just because you've been carrying, and we hear sometimes emotional baggage, just because you've been carrying that baggage, which also can have a negative connotation, it's baggage. It's stuff you've been carrying, which also means that you can set it down. You can detach from it.
And it doesn't mean that it didn't have value at one point.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's not as if you've done something wrong. It's
exactly.
Just, oh, I actually, turns out I don't need like 12 pairs of jeans on this trip.
I'm going to be gone for and 3 days. And 12 pairs of 5 different shades of blue jeans. You know,
correct.
Like, I mean,
correct.
Literally. Yes, for sure.
Yep. We are definitely taking this luggage metaphor, and I love it because it's really working for me. Now, you mentioned earlier, you went on sort of a educational intensive. You just were like, I'm just going to learn every single thing there is to learn about everything, and that will solve all my problems.
And the world's problems.
And the world's problems. And if I can just learn enough, everything will be fine. And that's sort of like where you started. That was such a brilliant, mm-hmm. like, smart, intellectual, logical decision, right? Like, the answer is out
exactly.
there, and you were going to find it. But then it didn't exactly turn out like that for you. And mm-hmm. I want you to tell that story.
Yes. And so what's interesting, too, about that, like you say, the intellect, I also feel that that was the ego. And we need our ego, right? I know many people have had these conversations of, like, you know, the heightened ego, the ego that doesn't serve you or humanity, versus the ego of, just like we say, who am I? And, you know, whether I have titles or how I show up, you know, whether you're a coach or a mom or something, that's still tied to the ego element. Where I was going with this, though, is my ego deeply desired to still be validated in the way that I was in the world. So as a consultant, we have to be the subject matter experts. We have to be up on trends and themes, and clients are paying us to have the answer to everything. And typically having certifications and things of that nature creates a different type of value in that world. And much of that can still happen in the spiritual world or, you know, in other spaces. So what I found is, even though I had an obsession of knowing and understanding, which I do believe was part of my activation into my gifts and things, the conflict, though, is it was also saying, hey, I'm just as good enough in this new world because I'm certified in 12 things. You can trust me, right? Like, so I had to balance out that as well. I am already enough And these are just additions to my skills, talents, and gifts, but they don't create additional validation of my worthiness in the world. The other thing that was very interesting is as I started going on the journey, leveraging these tools and modalities for myself, but also with clients, I started to recognize that it was much more of, once again, activating or opening up different parts of me. And it wasn't the modality that I was going to use in its direct form. So for example, I am certified as a Reiki master, also in other energy healing modalities, emotion code, body code. When I first went through that, I was very traditional in following those standards and how you do it, right? By the book, etc. When I allowed myself to surrender to it being an activation of my own gift of being an energy healer, I don't follow the same protocols because I recognize it was just opening up a new door for me to see that it existed. So I find that particularly as I go on this journey, what I invite others is to also ask, is the modality or whatever you're going into, is it the pure essence of it, or was it to activate or open something in you? And how do you want to use it for yourself or in the world? Because not all of us will do it or use it or apply it in the same way.
I think that's really interesting because, yeah, we do tend to get a lot of certifications. We want external validation and it lets us know, like, I am still very, very yes, smart and I am
very important.
Yes, exactly. I matter.
Yes. And
what those actually did for you was just, again, we keep coming back to this, but they opened mm-hmm. another door and they were like, hey, here's a little bit more of your heart, Nicole. Here's a little bit more exactly. of your essence. Here's a little bit more of the actual gifts that you have to bring to the world. Like what you bring to the world isn't necessarily being a Reiki master. It's right. being Nicole Lee in the world. And
yes.
Reiki was a way to let that out, let more Nicole Lee essence exactly. into the world.
Yeah. It was like your soul. It was interesting. It's like what came to me is, you know, your soul has all this wisdom. And because of the outside world, we block that natural wisdom that wants to come to us. And then we may have something in the world because it feels very logical, it's familiar, that opens up that wisdom. So that exposure opened up some wisdom that was already in me. Mm-hmm. And I then tapped into that wisdom and showing up in, once again, my pure essence. It was just dormant where the door was closed for whatever reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then when that's available to you, your essence, do you think that's the thing that allowed, I guess, twofold, is that the thing that allowed you to start your healing process, or the whole thing was your healing process, I suppose, but this was just more energy, more strength behind the healing process? And then can we use our soul essence as part of our healing? What's your experience with that process?
Yeah, I would say that going through this journey, I will go back to staying in the state of that curiosity and discovery was really important in these things connecting the dots for me. So what I find is, because we're still not in a place of exploration, we can't get those connection points. So as I continue to surrender and allow myself to be in that space, more and more of these start to quote unquote make sense of how they were part of my soul essence, how it was part of my wisdom, how me even making the connection, my mother was clairvoyant, you know, and though she didn't fully practice, that wisdom came back when my mother was like, wow, these things can be passed down in a sense, in a way, right? So me being willing and open to actually embrace, I think that's the other thing, embrace those, started putting all the pieces together. And so I think that's part of it as well for me, is embracing it and surrendering to all these things making some kind of sense, even if it wasn't logical sense, that it was for me and for me to show up in this way for myself and others.
I hate to be all like practical and logical, but do you have any tips that you learned? Yeah. Like, how can we, you know, sitting here listening to you, realizing we too need to surrender?
Mm-hmm.
What are some ways that we can do that? Because I hear that through surrender to the pose, surrender to the stick.
Yes,
and then we're just
yoga,
like, what does that even mean?
Yeah. Right?
And there's just, I feel like sometimes it's one of those words that we're like, yes, I'll surrender. I don't know what that means and I don't know how to do it, but yes, I'll do it. So again, at the risk of being very practical and logical.
I love that. We need both.
Yeah,
we need all
agree.
Of it.
I totally agree. What are some like ways we can do that? And what does that look like? How do we know if we've accomplished surrendering?
Yes. And I love that too, Sarah, that you brought that up, right? Because that's another learning for me is that there's a harmony, there's a beauty. We hear of like masculine energy and feminine energy, and we hear, you know, the practical and the creative and all those things, they all have a place. And so I love that you say that because it's not one or the other, right? And depending on where you are. So for me, I needed to go into the logical space to actually open up the spiritual space. Something had to make sense to me first. So what I, invite individuals, if that is where you are, the being the more practical, more still kind of in the intellectual element of having them pragmatic, I would say things as simple as even journaling are ways to allow that to happen. And the surrender to me is, you know, it's similar to we also hear of like permission. Like, I'm actually saying it's okay to explore and not have the answer in that moment.
That's the most important thing I've ever heard is that we have to explore and then be like, man, I don't know.
I don't know. And that's what surrender to me was, because I think, and surrender has its own definition. I think it was more of that. Like, I don't have the answer. I'm not sure what this really means. But something about it, once again, I could feel that I needed to move in that direction. That to me is surrender. I don't have the answers. I don't fully know, but I'm going to keep moving in that direction. So something like journaling, particularly with, if you're someone who still needs the steps, that can be simple things like gratitude, right? What are the things I'm most grateful for? And then a question of what are the things, for example, that really light me up?
Yes.
Just sit, because if you sit with that, things will actually start to spark that aren't just logic. There, you start to feel it in your heart. So this is the thing too. When you start to connect with things like what lights me up, it sparks a feeling. Not just the logic part. The brain and the heart start to work together because you remember, but you remember the activities, but you remember how they made you feel. You start to think about the people who are around you. So asking that, what lights you up? Why does it light me up?
I can 100% vouch for the journaling thing. And you should see, I've got pages and pages of journals that say, I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this means. I'll write something. I'll be like, what the heck does that mean? I don't know, brain. You're being silly right now. But keep writing and it does come. Yes. No, you're 100% right. You said like that, those kinds of things open that pathway from the brain to the heart. And I know that you fully believe in the power of the heart as a healing modality, as a door to your soul. So anyway, go ahead. Surrendering.
Yes. So that's one. And just like you mentioned too, it's going back to, I don't have the answer. That actually starts to reprogram in a sense, right? Rewire your brain on always having to have an answer or evidence in that moment. And I think that's what starts to open up the things that we're talking about and saying, hey, I might come back to this journaling a year from now, 3 months from now, 2 weeks from now. I will also say just even free writing. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, depending on how you felt about writing or expressing yourself, having certain prompts can be uncomfortable. And it can create responses that feel overwhelming. So that goes back to rate. So it may be sitting and just doodling, just, you know, letting whatever comes out. It may literally go from the sandwich I had today was not tasty to a task that you need to do, to something then sparking a relationship that, wow, I remember that I forgot to call Sarah back and I love her and I miss her. Right? Like, so you actually start to allow yourself to flow, because part of surrender also is the ebb and flow. It's not structure and strict and rigid. And a lot of what we've been conditioned is the structure, the rigid, unless you're a creator or creative, there's been this limitation of you going into that space.
What about those of us who do feel very heart-centered, but can feel mm-hmm. extremely overwhelmed with mm-hmm. that, right? Like you talked about being an empath, and I think a lot of the listeners here relate hard to mm-hmm. that, and sort of finding the boundaries between their soul and the feelings and experiences of everybody else can be overwhelming. Do you have, again, practical suggestions for people practical. Who are like overwhelmed by not necessarily structure and logic, but overwhelmed by emotions, theirs or other people's?
Yes. So the one thing that was helpful for me is recognizing that it was a superpower and it wasn't an issue. It wasn't a problem. Something's wrong with you. I think that sometimes being on that sensitive side or having these other gifts that everybody can't relate to. That's why I think sometimes we go over to the intellect and things, because it's an easier relatability many times in the world that we've been in. So that's the first place I would start, is embracing that it is a superpower and you're just learning how to use it because you weren't exposed to it as much. You didn't get the manual, right? Like you weren't in super, I call it my super friends, you know, being the superhero. You didn't get the class. Right. Like you were not given
the parents don't have the, they you know, don't like have the tools. Your mom might have been an exception, but a lot of parents don't have the tools to manage their children who experience that. And so they never learn any of the skills on how to do it.
Yeah. So what I kind of look at. And even with my mom, because of my mom, I knew she had these gifts, but she also wasn't a place to feel equipped with even expressing it at that time. That wasn't always a positive thing, right? We've evolved in being more open around certain things like that. So that was something that she wasn't necessarily in a place. So to your point, being equipped. So starting with that, like, wow, this is a superpower that I just haven't learned how to leverage in a way that best that serves me best and can serve other people. So starting there, I think helps. The other practical part then is taking those moments of time, once again, being with self enough to say, take a scenario. So I'll say we're talking and we're connecting. And then after this call, I may sit and say, wow, what part of that was I maybe pulling from Sarah? Or what part of that might have just been my own energy and emotion? That's actually what helped me, because many times with empath, our level of awareness is what gets us. So we've been in these rooms with all these people, and then we don't understand why we're drained, or now we're having these thoughts that weren't ours, because we weren't taught to maybe sit and start to decipher which were ours and other people. Starting to do that very just really quickly, even with friends, you'll start to kind of get the hits of like, wow, that wasn't me. That was Sarah's energy, and I kind of tapped into it. Okay, great. Now, where are the signals in my body that start to kind of tell me what's mine and not mine?
So just like a little intentional debrief, down and you're kind of like, okay, let's tease out those things. I think that actually is a super helpful advice.
Super check. And I love that. Like check in with self. That was one thing that helped me, because before an empath, I didn't know, like, I literally like, why am I so depressed? I'm a happy person. then I stopped and I'm like, wow, I was around a lot of depressed or unhappy people. And I always say we're the sponge. So you're absorbing and you don't even realize you're absorbing because you have this superpower. So then you start to say, wow, I've been absorbing this. That's not, you know, that's not mine. So once you start doing that too, there's also things that are out there if you're into creating protective energetic bubbles. So yes. So that's another thing that's helpful, especially when you're getting started. And that's a way from connecting once again the brain, the body, and your energy and the spirit. And you can literally sit, you know, you close your eyes, you take a few deep breaths, and you just imagine this beautiful protective bubble around you that is keeping you safe, that's helping you balance between bringing something in, right, and pushing things out. There's a lot of literature on that and, you know, things in YouTube and things of that nature. I do find that to be helpful. And the visualization I find is really important. So what I recommend is actually being in a situation where there's someone that maybe you feel that you've had those challenges with, and you visualize you actually being protected from it. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it connects not only you kind of internally in that inner wisdom, but it also connects the brain that it can happen externally in reality. So when I bring that in, then now I can envision another person and I almost can sense and feel my bubble around me. Because what I find sometimes too is when I'm just like, okay, I imagine it, but once again, the practical part, how is that in reality? If I visualize it, then I'm actually giving an imprint in my brain that it actually can happen in reality. So that's one little added bonus that I found that has helped individuals who are still managing between the energy and kind of the real world of being able to say that I can sense and feel that happening, is another way as well.
I think that's something I need to remember to do regularly, because like many people, being out in the world can be absolutely exhausting and draining. And sometimes I don't even know why, or I know like this will be so exhausting. And then I miss things because mm-hmm. I'm too afraid to go out for the emotional impact. And if I can remember to just do a little protecting of myself, I could probably still go out and enjoy all of those things without coming home and feeling like not only do I have my own suitcases I can't put down, and now I have somebody else's luggage too.
My backpack. You picked up a backpack.
That's right. Like, why am I carrying your backpack? Take your own stuff.
And so with that too, to your point too, so if individuals, and I'm always cognizant of it, everyone's different in comfort, and we can't cover all the elements. The other thing though is what I have found is if you're still working through visualization or being able to sense that, even a declaration. So I think sometimes we don't realize the power we really have even in our words and declaring or affirming. So if you're in a place that it still doesn't feel comfortable, kind of creating the bubble, and the bubble feels awkward, and the bubble has holes. I don't know. I've had
clients. And now I'm bouncing into things.
I can't feel the whole bubble. Like
one of those soccer balls that people crawl into.
Are you like, my bubble? I don't feel like my bubble's really, you know. So this is another thing, is the power of our words and our voice. So just even sitting and saying, I am protected, right? I will not be the sponge. I will be the reflection of the mirror. So certain things like that I've also found helpful. Like, I am going to be a reflection of others. I am not going to absorb their emotions, their feelings, and thoughts. Things of that nature also help get you in a state that you're conscious that you're not going to do that. Because what happens with us as empaths, we become subconscious because we want to help. We have that gift. Yes. So we don't realize that we're subconsciously becoming the sponge. So if I say I'm not the sponge, you know, I'm going to reflect, I'm not taking on other people's energy. The other thing that I find helpful is that coming home and releasing it. So just because you've created the bubble doesn't mean at some point in time, even our subconscious and our desire to connect with people, that you open the bubble and you don't realize that you have. So even coming home and getting in the practice of, I'm releasing all that is not mine, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm rebalancing myself. Anything that I may have taken in unconsciously, subconsciously, I now release from myself.
Yeah.
So that's something too, I think, is helpful, because once again, we want to connect with people. So it's going to happen. You're going to pick up a little bit of somebody else's stuff, even if you, you know, you have the biggest bubble in the world. I mean, it's just the reality.
And I also think there are times when we want to absorb energy and take those things on, like with our friends, with our family, right? Like, it's a superpower, like you said, to go into your friends and family situation and have that sort of bodily understanding of what they're going through, right? So it isn't something that we're always trying to resist. It's something that we can also intentionally let in. But yeah, the releasing of it is important, which actually brings me to the very last thing I want to talk about. You mentioned, you touched on it earlier, but like decompressing with friends, you know, we're talking about like being empathetic or being empathic with friends. You and I have talked before about the absolute vital qualities of community and bringing like minds together, and that the ability of a trusted community to help you find and reconnect to your soul essence. Would you share a little bit with me about why you feel that's so important? How do we go about doing that? Because that can be really, really hard.
Yeah. And I sense that it's really important, because just as human beings, and just like you even mentioned, whether you're empath or not empath, our desire to connect with individuals is part of our survival. I mean, if we go back to children, when they talk about babies, right, who haven't been cradled or held or loved, the odds of you surviving without that, those numbers are not good, right?
Really bad.
So if we look at that level of connection that we desire even to survive before all of these other elements of our consciousness have evolved, says at the core, that's absolutely necessary for us.
That's our soul essence doesn't sit by itself. It sits in connection to everyone else's soul essence. And there's, so it's not that surprising that community would be the thing that helps us survive and thrive.
Exactly. And so with that, if we look at us, what we've even talked about, you know, the energy and things of this nature, we actually are exchanging energy with other individuals on a regular basis. So having a community that is in like energy, and I would say like heart, helps amplify not only our gifts, but our emotions, the way we see the world, our the limitless possibilities. And so that's what I started to find, is I actually started shifting out of like-minded and like-hearted.
I love that.
Because I found, once again, you know, my mind was like, oh, intellectual. Oh, Sarah, she's smart. Oh, she has a certification too. Or, right? Versus, wow, where is the energy? How am I sensing and feeling this connection? Mm-hmm. How is there a natural reciprocity of giving and receiving that's just happening because we're in this same space? And so that's why I sense and feel community is so important, because it's not even always about the words. It is the presence of that. When you are around individuals that can see you just in your presence, it also just amplifies the energy, the mood, the feelings of feeling safe without words. So I think that is why that's really important, and being intentional around what lights you up, what is important to you at the core of who you are, what are the characteristics and behaviors of people that you feel will be in deep community with you, what do they look like? Because I also feel that many times we haven't given ourselves that opportunity to focus on what we really desire and what community means for us, so that we can actually be intentional of creating a community that serves us and we can serve others. So I think that's another thing that I realize, is that sitting in intentionality, not being on autopilot and looking at the checklist, but what do I sense and feel? And that can evolve. Nothing stays, you know, you can be, I call it being in season. So what you need in a season of community now may be a different season in another space. The other part that you mentioned, it can be difficult, particularly if you are going through this major transition where you're recognizing so much of who you were was not the core essence of you. Mm-hmm. And that level of grief of detaching from those relationships can be difficult. And now you're going into a new space of trying to make new relationships and connections. And I sense that's where sometimes the difficulty is also in the detachment of the relationships that you either have to leave behind or adjust as a result of you being more sure of who you are. I would say too, that just simple things of the things we talked about of that list and that intentionality and also giving yourself the time and space to grieve that shift, one or two people can help amplify what that community looks like. So for me, I was always like, I have to have, once again, all the answers, and I need to find all the people in my community, and I need to find all the super friends at one time. And when I gave myself the time and patience to say, wow, okay, I found one. That one person probably has one or two other people, right? And then they have one or two other people. So sometimes I think we get overwhelmed with we have to create the entire community. One person can support your community building.
That I think is really excellent advice. We think, oh, I need my TV commercials, eight friends worth of community, right? And it should look a certain way and it should feel a certain way and we should do these things that friends and community do. And yeah. I think what you're saying is find that one person that connects with your soul, mm-hmm. and that will open doors to other people. And then you will find others. And that's how you build community, not by forcing things to fit into a preconceived notion, because that's exactly how we got into this problem of being disconnected from our soul in the first
exactly.
place.
Exactly. Yes. And that goes back to kind of that surrendering. Like, I'm not sure, but it feels good. So even the logical piece, right? There are people that have been in my life with me shifting this and not trying to calculate all the things. They've come back in my life and I found that we're like-hearted because now we're having different conversations, right? Yeah. And the other thing is when we talk about that openness and surrendering, we release ourselves from having to take all of the action. The only action we needed to take was in that being. When I surrender that, now I'm magnetizing people because I'm not spending so much time being methodical. Because I'm in alignment and I just know that me continue to be in this space and being intentional, I will connect with those people. That's how I found you.
Yes, that's right? Exactly how we found each other. We just existed in the space.
Existed and the energy connected.
And the energy connected
literally.
Us.
I mean,
and we,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened, which is, so, I think, just a beautiful example of what you just said. And I love that you said, like, all we need to do is be in our true, authentic space. And that will bring the community, that will bring the healing, that will, you know, when we allow ourselves to surrender, give ourselves permission to unpack, to put things down, as it were.
And be open. You'd be surprised when you walk into spaces with intention. I will be open. And someone I'm with my energy that I will connect to will show up. It will be the people you would never expect. That's the thing that when you get out of this kind of logical, methodical, and like, I'm just going to be in this essence and I'm going to connect, it will be people that you wouldn't imagine, because that energy, that frequency, you're now using that power even more so than just thinking through everything. And the mind, we know that the brain, the mind is important. However, the way the way society has put so much emphasis on that has disconnected from that inner knowing, that the core of our hearts and our souls that are also trying to communicate with us about what we want, what we need, what we desire. So we want them to come together, right? We want them to be friends so they're not in conflict.
Yeah. And that is what most of us want, right? Is a life filled with inner peace. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of the way to get there.
Yeah.
Nicole, this has been just a beautiful, delightful conversation. Thank you for sharing so much of yourself with us. I appreciate that. And It sounds like your journey is not complete yet. Maybe none of us ever get to the completion of our
Never.
journey. Like, I feel the idea of like finishing up and wrapping up sounds terrible to me. But from what you've experienced so far, what would you say is just sort of your, I don't want to say your number one, because prioritizing, like listing things like that isn't always helpful, but like, what is one of the most useful things you've found in your journey in connecting to yourself? Just
That's a tough one.
I know, because there's like 15 of them, right?
What is one with myself?
I guess what was one door that opened for you?
I think the biggest door that opened for me was the power of our heart.
Okay.
It was dropping into love and realizing that it really is the core of who we all are. And I am so grateful that that is the deepest desire I have to continue to connect to that in myself and the world. And it's funny because I've always been obsessed with the word love. I'm obsessed with hearts. They're everywhere. And so to connect my soul to say, hey, and that's part of your soul mission. Wow.
Yeah, although kind of unsurprising, right? You, isn't that some of the best things in life are like, wow. Oh yeah,
Yes.
that makes sense.
To the point, I just have to share this because it is a little funny. I'm obsessed with Care Bears. Okay, been
Course you
obsessed
are.
with Care Bears. And this is why I say I literally think, right, like Care Bears, they're like the Care Bear stare, right? Like it's all this energy going out to love the world. And so I literally was like, wow, I get to Care Bear stare
Nicole,
all
you are a Care
the
Bear.
time.
You didn't even know, but you are a Care Bear.
I mean, it might sound cliche with the love thing, but it really is. I've just, that has been the greatest thing is like, yes, it is. Love really is the answer. It really is. It's not cliche. It's not, it really is the answer.
That's awesome. That is fantastic.
Now you're gonna see me Care Bear staring now.
I am that's I was gonna make a little I'm gonna make a little picture of you with like just rainbow energy coming right out your heart. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you so much. And I really look forward to staying in touch with you.
I appreciate you, Sarah, and I just thank you for, you shining your light on the world and creating a platform that allows us to continue to remember we're not alone, that we are a community,
That's right.
and that it's never over, to your point. We're always evolving and growing and going into new spaces. So I appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. Have a fantastic day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Before we totally wrap up today's episode, I wanted to remind you to join me on social media at Facebook and Instagram at Your Chakra Coach. And also, I wanted to give a special thanks to those of you who left reviews for the show, just like I've been asking for on your podcast apps. That is just, it's just the best. It's just the best. And some of them have really just been so lovely. Thank you so much for that. And I got a message on Instagram from someone who didn't want to leave a review, but she wanted to say that she's enjoying the show. And just so you know, that's okay too. Enjoy the show. Take something wonderful away from it and keep being the authentic, soul-connected human beings that you are. Bye.